When we were on vacation last week, on one of the days on Friday, we took our family to, or the oldest four kids, took them whitewater rafting. They'd never been, and so the raft was only so big we couldn't fit everyone and didn't have enough money to pay for everyone. Anyway, so we took there were six of us in the raft plus the guide, seven in the guide, and we went down the Arkansas River through a section called Brown's Canyon. And they say it's the most popular section of rafting in North America. So anyway, found a Groupon, not a bad deal. So we're going down, and as we get set up, the guide gives us three rules. Rule number one is you have to stay in the raft. Rule number two is also you have to stay in the raft. They're trying to keep people from drowning and ruining the trip, trying to fish people out of the river. And then rule number three was, listen, you have to listen to the guide, like whatever his instructions are. So there weren't very many instructions that he would give. Basically, it was go and stop, or everyone paddle forward. There were two variations on this. Everyone paddle forward or everyone paddle backwards, depending on what direction the raft is facing and where you have to navigate. And so he would say that. You'd practice, okay, everyone paddle, and I thought he was going to say, have some paddle forward on the left. You know, a canoe really turns, if you paddle on the left, it turns right. And so I thought sometimes he would say, paddle on the left, and we'd turn right, and paddle on the right. But never did that. He always just said, everyone paddle forward, or stop, or everyone paddle backwards. And no matter what direction the raft was pointing, he would be at the back, and he could steer, and so that was his job. So he would say, and it was very important, he'd say, won't you pay attention, as soon as he, and we all did this in unison, everyone paddle forward. You know, it took us about 1 second, maybe 2 seconds from him saying that, and we're all paddling forward. And then stop, and we immediately stop. So it was important at times that we not paddle too far, or that we paddle immediately, because there might be this big rock coming up. And you don't want to smash into the rock. If you hit it wrong, you could flip over. If you hit it, you could stop, get stuck, or something like that. And sometimes there's rock in the middle or off to the side. And sometimes there's a series, and we're trying to navigate. You know, sometimes it's just as wide as the raft is that we can get between a couple of rocks. And so it's really important that we would always go at just the right time and stop at just the right time. And he, being experienced, knew how much momentum was necessary to clear a rock, and then he could, sometimes it's like you're going to hit it, but he would steer and we'd pull around it and everything was fine. And it was really important that everyone was on the same page with that. Imagine if you were to say that, okay, everyone forward, and then Micah, it probably would have been Micah, or you know, Liliana or Julian either, if somebody said, you know, this forward thing, I'm kind of tired. I'm kind of bored right now. I think I'd rather go over there. I think I'm going to start. I'm going to try to paddle this way, or I'm going to paddle backwards while everyone else is going forward. If we all didn't work together, if somebody doubted the instructions or second guessed them, then maybe we wouldn't have made it to the right place at the right time. Maybe we would have snagged a rock. And it's possible. I asked him if this has ever happened. Anyone ever hit a rock and it punctures the raft and pops it? And he said, no, I don't think that could happen. By the way, then one of the rapids that we hit, he's like, this one's called Raft Popper or something like that. It's like, oh, so it is possible. But if we didn't work together at the same time, we could have done wrong things and ruined the trip in some way. And I want to call our message tonight, The Power of Submission. That can sound like a paradox to some people. Submission is the opposite of power that a lot of people think about. You either have power or you submit to someone else's power. But there is power in submission, and we all, as we submitted to, I'll call him the authority, as we submitted to the guide, to the expert that knew what he was doing there, our powers combined, as we submitted to his authority, accomplished better things than we would have if we had done our own thing. And it's like this in the Christian life. It's like this in any place where there's an authority and there is subservience. It's like this in a family. It's like this in a church. It's like this in a business. where some of you've heard the phrase that there are too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Are you allowed to say that anymore, or is that cancel culture stuff? Anyway, there's not enough Native Americans. You're probably not allowed to say that either in that context. But, you know, there's too many cooks in the kitchen sometimes. And there's too many people who are in charge trying to do something and not enough people submitting, and it goes haywire. But if everyone together submits to an authority that God has placed over them, then there is actually power in submission. We don't, even though we don't like that concept. By the way, it's an unpopular concept. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Who doesn't like to submit? Men or women? The answer is both. Adults or children? Both. Nobody likes to submit because we all think that we have pretty good ideas. Maybe people that lack self-confidence are better, you know, or are more comfortable than others submitting. But usually we have our own will. It's our human nature. I have something that I want to do, and I don't want to submit to someone else telling me what to do. Some people say, nobody tells me what to do. But everybody, man, woman, boy, or girl, no matter how low you are, no matter how high you climb in society, everybody has someone over them, even if it's only God himself. And that is a mouthful, too, and then we're going to talk about that. So let's talk about submission. As I said, people don't like submission because people think that it means, often people think that submission means inequality, and that's a buzzword in our society, inequality. Nobody's better than me, and to submit means that I have to acknowledge he's better than me, so I'm not going to submit to anyone. That's what happens in marriage. That's what happens in job settings. People think that submission is inequality. Do you know where that concept comes from? The devil. It comes from the devil himself. The devil does not want us to submit to God. And so he brings this in. Oh, God, you know, just like he did with Eve in the Garden of Eden. God's trying to keep you back. God knows that if you eat this, you're going to be wise like him. And the devil tells us, people, God, by trying to tell you to submit, he's trying to keep you back from all you could be. And so he brings up the inequality point. So our society hates submission because it means there's got to be inequality. Oh, submission? You're talking about black, white, slave stuff, right? No. Submission is biblical. It's God-ordained. Jesus himself submitted. Look at this verse in John 8, and then we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5. John 8, verse 29, Jesus says this. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus says, I came, and it's all throughout the Gospels. In fact, it's in a way that the people who are scoffers and doubters, who don't believe in the deity of Christ, they love to grab onto those verses of submission and say, oh, Jesus must not have been God because he's praying to the Father, and he's doing those things that please the Father. And I came to do the Father's will. And so they look at that submission and they think inequality. But Jesus is equal with God. We know that in a lot of places. Jesus is God. So submission does not mean inequality. This is true in marriage also. Husbands and wives, God has set up an authority structure that the husband is to be the head in the home. But that doesn't mean that any husband is better than any wife. Everyone's equal. There's nobody that's more important in God's sight. There's nobody that's worth more. But look at Ephesians chapter 5. Here's where we see a command to submit. So Jesus is a good example. He submitted. And I want to start in verse 18. The verse isn't the key points in verse 21, but I want to start in verse 18 because of what an important principle that it says. Ephesians 5:18 says this. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The main thought I want to point out is if you drink, you will not be submissive. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But it says there the ideas of control in verse 18, you could use the word filled both. You could use the word drunk twice, or you could use the word filled twice. They mean the same thing, has to do with control. Don't be controlled by wine, where is in excess, but be controlled by the Spirit. And then it goes on, you see the word speaking in verse 19. There are several different gerunds, which a gerund is a verb form that ends in ing, used as a noun. So speaking in verse 20, giving, and then verse 21, submitting. These are three ways that we will live if we are filled with the Spirit. Be controlled, be filled with the Spirit, and this will manifest itself. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So I want to look at all those verses to say this, that submission is what those that are filled with the Holy Spirit do in their lives. That when God sets up an authority, someone that is filled with the Holy Spirit, someone that is pleasing and obeying God, is going to submit to that authority. And it says, submitting yourselves one to another. Now, we can submit to each other in a deferential way. We can say, I prefer you above me. I put you first. That you could call that submitting. But it goes on and talks about different relationships that we're to submit. There's husbands and wives. There's parents, there's children to their parents, there's servants to their masters. And so that's the main context, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. But submission is what those that are filled with the Spirit do. And God commands it, He wants it from each of us. And we're going to talk about some results of that. Look at another passage, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. Some people believe that submission, we are to submit to authorities that are godly. If you have a godly authority that's worth honoring, you honor them. If they're worth submitting to, you submit to them. But if they're deadbeats, or if they're unbelievers, or if they're cruel, then you don't have to submit to them. But that's not what God says. He's placed all authority over us, and He says this. Always remember, by the way, when in Romans 13, for example, when it says that we are to obey the authorities that are over us, the higher powers. Remember who those higher powers were. It was the Roman government that was godless, and Caesar and so forth. And same thing here, 1 Peter 2, verse 13. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That's a mouthful. And a lot of Christians, they would disagree. They would say, I believe the Bible. Well, the Bible says, you know, we should submit to every ordinance. No, it didn't say that. Where does it say that? Right there? That means something else. It means what it says. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Obviously, you combine that with, we must obey God rather than men. So if there's a law that's unbiblical, you know, we don't submit to that. But we can't just say, I don't believe I should pay my taxes because I don't like what the government does with the tax dollars. I don't agree with everything they do, so therefore I don't have to pay taxes. No, it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Have you ever been here? The speed limit here on this road is really pretty ridiculous. If I had made the law, 35 miles an hour? Are you serious? It should be at least 50. So, since I know that it should be at least 50, then it should be at least 50. And so I'm just going to go 50. And God knows that that was a dumb law. But submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. I'm not saying this as a perfect person. I've crossed speed limits. I don't try to do it on purpose, but it has happened. And let's just move on. You guys are judging me, I can tell. Verse 14. Into verse 13. It says, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, by God, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing, but what's the well-doing? Well-doing here is submission. Submit yourselves to every ordinance. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What does that mean? What's that talking about? And this is part of where I was thinking about this concept, that there is power in submission. When we submit to laws from people that we don't agree with, but we do it, and by the way, it says we do it for the Lord's sake. We do it for the testimony of Jesus. We do it for the gospel, for the kingdom. We say, I don't like everything about that authority, but I'm going to submit in front of the whole world and in front of that authority. I'm going to submit to them for the Lord's sake, because I claim to be a Christian, and I can't claim to be a Christian and forget about that law. Anyway, you want to come to church with me? They say, what do you mean come to church with you? You're not obedient. You don't obey the laws. We do damage to the cause of Christ in the name of Christ whenever we disobey. So, but when we submit, there's power that puts to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How does this ignorance of foolish men, it says they're saying stuff and it puts it to silence. Maybe there's criticism of Christianity or Christians or Jesus. And there's a lot of different criticisms out there. People want to criticize, oh, those Christians, they're the worst. Sometimes people make up lies on purpose. And that's, I think, what's happening here. That Peter, when you go through 1 Peter, that people are trying to persecute Christians and badmouth them to the world. They're the worst people ever. And then they say, oh, he's actually the best employee at the company. He's actually a model citizen. Well, let's find some law that he's breaking. I can't find one. Remember Daniel in the Bible. They looked high and low. They couldn't find anything against him. So they had to make up a law about God, that they knew that he would follow God. And when they criticize and say Christians are the worst, and then they look at us and we're the best citizens, that submission puts to silence that ignorance of foolish men. There's power in submission. And so God wants us, there's often a chain, right? There's God and there's the government, and then there's different people's steps along the way in the hierarchy. And at a company, there's a CEO, and then there's a supervisor, and then there's the guy that started last week, and then the guy that started today. And the guy that started last week is above the guy that started today, and he wants to tell him what to do. But there's, you know, a lot of steps along the way. And so we're supposed to submit to those above us. And God wants us, and God wants those that are under us to submit to us. If you have authority in some way, if you're a parent, if you have a position at a job, if you have a governmental position, God wants those that are under you to submit to you. So how does that play out? Do we crack the whip and demand it? You submit to me! And a lot of people do this. And they think, I can live however I want. I can treat the people under me however I want, and they just have to submit to me. No, God wants us to submit to those above us. And then as authorities, God wants us to be honorable, if I can put it that way. People should submit to authority whether we are honorable or not. But God wants us to be people that are worth following. Remember what Paul said. Follow me how? As I follow Christ. He doesn't say just blindly follow me no matter what I do. And so we are called to be people that are worth submitting to as we have authority, that are worth following. And that's really important because, by the way, you know, there's two types of leadership. One leader drives people to go and do something, and another leader gets out in front and leads them, and they can follow his example. And which one are we? But whenever people see a leader that's cruel and that's lazy and doesn't want to do what he calls other people to do, they don't want to follow that kind of leader. And so we should follow, but we should also be worth following. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Here's one thing that happens in submission. Whenever we submit, the people that we submit to will one day give account to God for how they did, and they'll give account for how we did as whether we submitted or not, and we will be, you know, judged or rewarded based on how we did. So look at Hebrews 13, verse 7. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. By the way, I didn't talk about this much, but the Greek word for submit is hupotasso, and it's a compound word of hupo and tasso, and it literally means to place under, to place yourself underneath. You're not placed under there by someone else. You place yourself under someone willingly. That's submission. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And this account, I think, can be, you know, toward their human authority, but ultimately to God. All authority will give account to God for how they ruled, and it says they'll also give account for those under them, and it's unprofitable for us if we don't submit. God will bring down judgment. We'll talk about that more in just a little bit. You know what allows us to submit ourselves to our authority? Humility. There's a link between humility and submission. It's to think little of myself, that I'm not so big that I don't have to obey this person to submit. Submission is humiliating for a lot of people. I'm not going to, yeah, I want you to look them in the eye and say, yes, sir.
Oh, I'm not doing that.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever. But to humble yourself. And I remember when I was in junior high, there was a guy, Salvador. And the teacher was talking to like two or three of us, and he's talking to Salvador. Salvador, I want you to look at me when I'm talking to you. And Salvador's like this. He looked at him for like 1 second, and he looked away. It's humiliating to just submit yourself and to look while the teacher's not berating you, but while the teacher's correcting you and giving you instruction, to look him right in the eye and say, yes, I received this. I did it. I'm bad. It's humiliating. A lot of people, they don't want to submit. But I'm going to look at one more verse, a couple more verses about the power. If there's a submission to, and turn to Philippians chapter 1, by the way. If we arrange ourselves under God's will, whatever it is, we're going to look at a specific example of it here. There's great power when everyone works together and submits their own agenda to God's agenda. Whatever authority, ultimately God's authority. So here's what God wants us as the church to do. And he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God, this is one manifestation of what God wants from our lives, is to look for opportunities to share the gospel. And imagine if in a church, if the entire church all decided they were going to do that. Some people would say, I think that's dumb. Some people could say, I don't think that works anymore. Some people could say, I don't have time. I have something better to do. And there's a lot of excuses. But imagine if the entire church said, I'm going to put my schedule aside. I'm going to put my fear aside. I'm going to put my agenda aside. I'm going to submit and follow God. Look what it could look like in Philippians 1:27 about the gospel. It says, only let your conversation, and that means your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The word striving literally means to agonize together. You're working really hard together. You're striving all together with one spirit and one mind for one cause, for the faith of the gospel. And by the way, we can take that phrase and apply it to a lot of things in the Christian life. With one spirit, one mind, striving together for peace and unity in the church. One mind, one spirit, striving together for truth, that we're not going to allow compromise to come in. You can apply it to a lot of things. But it's submitting our will to God's will and His plan. And imagine if the entire church did this, that all of them are striving together. Not, you know, contrast that with the church of Corinth. One person, oh, I follow Paul. No, I follow Apollos. And I follow Christ. And they're split and they're divided and they're arguing at every turn. Imagine the unity when everyone is submitting together to the will of God. There's great power in that submission. There's a power in the unity of everyone submitting to the will of God, because there's strength in numbers. But there's one greater power in submission, and that is that the power of God is on our side. That the power of God is providing for all of our needs. The power of God is directing our steps. The power of God is doing things pushing down walls that we could never push down. And just because we submitted, just because we followed God, God did for us things that we could never do on our own. And that's the greatest power there is in submission. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. And there's two sides of this, specifically with this issue. It's not that if you submit to God, you get his power. If not, it's still okay, but you just don't get quite as much power. No, there's an exact opposite that occurs. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says this. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Again, there's that link between humility and submission. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Some people say, well, I mean, I don't struggle with pride, but I'm not going to submit to that person. That is pride. You don't have to just tell everyone how wonderful you are. You don't have to say, I'm the greatest person in the world. By a lack of submission, it is pride. It's to think, I'm above that. I don't need to submit. And God resists the proud. Whenever I hear that phrase, I think of, maybe you've seen it, the Heisman statue, college football, they give the best player of the year. It's a picture of this guy carrying a football, and he's got his stiff arm out, like, you see the commercial, the cartoon where people try to tackle the guy, and he gives him a stiff arm, like, pushes that guy down by his face, pushes that guy down by his head. He's resisting people, and that's how God is toward the proud. You could try to come close to God, but he gives you a stiff arm. He resists you. You try to accomplish something, and God pulls it down. He resists you. The most powerful being in the universe is your enemy if you have any pride and if you do not submit. It's an automatic losing battle. So God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. And then look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So submission is to whatever authority, because that authority is placed by God. So ultimately, we submit ourselves, we humble ourselves under God, and he exalts us in due time. There's great power there. God uses his right hand, his hand of power, that flung the stars out there, that spoke the world into existence. And he uses that to exalt you. And if God exalts you, nobody can pull you down. There's the greatest power in submission is that God is on your side. Instead of pushing you down, instead of resisting you, he's pushing everything else out of the way so that he can lift you up and exalt you. And again, the goal of this is not so that you and I personally can be exalted, but just to show that the greatest blessing and the greatest favor we can have in the world is not anything. You know, someone can have a million views, a million likes, and all these followers in their social media. I have so many likes and followers and views that I make, and, you know, pretty insane the money that some of these people make. I make $10 million a year because people watch my videos of me playing with a cat or whatever it may be, dumb stuff. But people think, wow, look at all these people that are following me and giving power. The greatest favor is God's favor. You could have the whole world hate you, but God is on your side, and you're blessed, and you're going to make it. For the second time, I was trying to decide how much of this to look at. Maybe we'll just look at one of these passages. There's different things. Let's look at the flip side. What does it look like if God resists us? And results of disobedience or a lack of submission. There's power in submission, but here's what happens if we don't. Turn to Numbers chapter 12. I'm trying to decide for sake of time which of these we'll look at. Lack of submission brings the judgment of God. And what does that look like? Well, it could look really severe. And you look at Israel, this is one example of Israel in the wilderness. You know what? I changed my mind. Look at Numbers 14 instead. Just want to see if you're, don't worry, I only made you turn by two chapters, maybe one page. Numbers 12 talks about Moses' authority and Aaron and Miriam, his siblings, They didn't like that. They said, has God only spoken by Moses? Hasn't he also spoken by us? And Miriam got leprosy like that. Whoa. Now God healed her. He had mercy. But she could have died for that just because she didn't submit. Look at Numbers 14, verse 2. So now this is Israel. This is at Kadesh Barnea. They're supposed to go into the promised land now, but they don't submit to God. Numbers 14, verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. So by the way, now they're murmuring against Aaron. And Moses turns to him and says, now you see what it feels like. You know, Aaron was murmuring against him in chapter 12. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And here's the extreme lack of submission. And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Now, they didn't need to make a captain, because they already had a captain, Moses. And he had a captain over him, God. But they said, we need a captain that follows our agenda, you know. We're going back into Egypt. Here, you are going to be our leader. Now lead us, and we're going to tell you what to do. You take us into Egypt. So they don't want a captain that they would follow. They wanted a captain that would follow them. They would not submit. And so as a result of this, this whole chapter is about this. God says, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to destroy them all in a second. I don't think God was going to do that, but he's giving Moses a test. And Moses says, please, God, don't do that. You know, spare them. So God says, okay, I'll spare them. But they're going to wander for 40 years. They're not going to the promised land. And all of them are going to die that doubted me, except for Joshua and Caleb and those that were under 20. And then here's what happened. Look at verse 36 to the ringleaders of this idea. Numbers 14, 36. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. They just, right there on the spot, they all died by the plague. And there were other times in the wilderness that people, because they wouldn't submit to God, and they murmured and complained. Sometimes the earth opened and swallowed people up. Sometimes serpents bit people and they died. Lots of different ways that the judgment of God came, but it's all because of a lack of submission. People think submission and lack of submission is one of those, I mean, I'm not murdering anyone. It's one of those not big a deal things. It is to God. God says, you follow me, and I'm going to put up Moses. You follow the authority I put. And if you don't, it could be death on the spot. Now, God was merciful, and for very few people that happened to, where they died right on the spot. And we're all alive today. Anyone ever didn't submit to your authority? That's one thing that can happen. Another thing that can happen, so number one, it brings the judgment of God. Number two, a lack of submission can ruin it for everyone. Sometimes all it takes is a couple of people that don't submit, and for sake of time, we're not going to turn there. But in Joshua 7, there's the story of Achan, where God said to everyone, they all knew, we're going to go and fight against Jericho, we're going to take it. Nobody takes anything. Oh, God's not going to give us anything. Well, the next city, they were allowed to take the spoils. But the first one was to be consecrated to the Lord. It was symbolic that God gave us the city, and we're giving him all of this. And then God, there was nobody that went without. But Achan saw, and then he coveted it, and then he took it, and then he hid it. And he died, and it wasn't just, and by the way, before he died, they went to battle, and the whole nation lost a battle because one person, unbeknownst to the rest of the nation, didn't submit to God's will. And sometimes a lack of submission can bring judgment on other people, not just yourself. It can ruin it for everyone. You ever been in school where, I was had several times like this. I'm not going to say whether it was me or not, but I can't remember exactly, you know, the teacher is in front of the class. You know, she's writing on the blackboard. Oh, hey, who threw that ball? Hit me in the back of the head. Who was it? Crickets. No one's saying anything. Okay, we're not going anywhere until somebody fesses up. Nope. All right, the whole class misses out on recess. oh! And even still, they don't give up the person. And sometimes everyone misses out. And I'm not saying that God is unfair, but God was teaching a lesson that sin spreads like leaven throughout a camp, throughout a nation, and the whole nation. So here's what God said in Joshua 7 and verse 12. God says, Israel has sinned. They have taken the accursed thing. Notice he didn't say Achan. He said, Israel sinned. They have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing and stolen, dissembled, and they have put it even among their own self. Notice, God doesn't say one person. He says they. And he says, because of this, verse 12, Joshua 7, 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. I don't even know if Achan was in that battle. Maybe he was at home. I don't even know if he was among, it was just 3,000 people that was Ai. Achan probably wasn't even there. But the whole army failed and 36 people died because of one person. Sometimes a lack of submission can ruin it for everyone, can ruin it for your whole family, for your whole business, for a church. And the number three, another thing that can happen with a lack of submission is that it can cause others to rebel. As an example, hey, well, if that guy's not going to submit, they want us all to do this and he's not going to do it. Nothing's happening. Well, then I'm going to do that too. And this is human nature, a negative attitude and complaining and lack of submission. It spreads like wildfire much easier than, he's like, why is it easier for a negative spirit to spread faster than a positive spirit? The reason is because we all have negative spirits inside of us. We all have a natural inclination towards sin. And look at the last verse we'll turn to, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Shows the downward spiral that we naturally go to. And this is part of why submission is really important. Because other people are watching you. And other people are going to do what they do based on what you do. For better or worse sometimes. So 1 Corinthians 15, 33, it says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And it's talking about influence and input and friends and a lot of different ways this plays out. But if I don't submit, I teach others around me that submission is not a big deal and I can rub off on them and then they can go down the same road in their lives and then they can be judged by God and it spreads. So we need to be aware that people are watching. Sometimes the world is watching. Sometimes the world is hoping that we mess up so they can discredit Christianity. Sometimes the world is hoping that we don't mess up. Sometimes they're wishing that Christianity could be real and they're watching us. But if they see in us a lack of submission, oh, I don't care what my authority, I don't care what the government says. Forget the government. Forget, we need to overthrow. They look at that and say, oh, that's a turnoff. I don't want Christianity. And we need to be aware of our testimony. So there's great power in submission. The greatest power is that God is on our side. But flip it around if we are disobedient, if we are proud, if we will not submit. And the worst thing you can have in your life is for God to be your enemy and to be resisting you. So may we, the next time we have opportunity, which is soon, probably sometime today, we all have temptations to do our own thing. We need to submit to God. We need to submit to the authority he's placed over us and be a good example because submission is not weakness. Submission calls down the power of God on your life like few things. Let's close together in prayer.